see a bunch of Oregon Ducks show up there in Indianapolis and go from there.
Thanks, Coach. Now let's take some questions from the media. Nick
Is this
Hamilton.
30 minutes you said?
It is 30 minutes.
Let's go. Oh my gosh. All right.
We have lots of hand raised so far. So, Nick Hamilton, we'll start with you.
Good afternoon, Coach. Congratulations on making the Big Ten championship. What I wanted to ask you is obviously, every year you have a vision for this team and how the direction you wanted to go in. At what point did you feel like you guys were getting close to that vision throughout the in within the season, rather, as you guys move towards this Big Ten championship game?
Yeah, I think coaching football is an ever-changing process, Nick. And if you're chasing what you really believe in, success looks like and what you want to look like, I don't know if that process ever really reveals itself. I think it's something that you have to wake up as hungry today as you were yesterday, to get to that goal. And I think that's, if anything, that's what I've realized about our team is we have a hungry team that's infatuated with improvement. And that means a lot to them to go out there and grow and get better each day. But their approach is probably the thing that sticks out to me the most, regardless of opponent situation. The fact that they want to go out there and give their best, put their best foot forward and go out there and compete every single day is what separates this group.
Thank you, Coach.
Michael Gross, we'll go to you next.
Thank you. Hi, Coach.
How you doing?
When Penn State played Washington, Jed Fish said after the game, "We got to get more physical. We got to get bigger and stronger to play in this league." Have you noticed a difference in physicality and size and strength in the league? And obviously, it hasn't been much of a problem for you, but have you noticed that? Have you noticed that difference?
I think, the Big Ten has always been a league that's been identified as a physical, tough conference. I would say every indication of what we've been able to experience this year has shown that it certainly matters. But I think that's the equation to winning football, right? If you want to have a winning football team, a successful football team, you have to be physical. You have to be able to win in the trenches, and that's where games are really won. So it certainly holds true in this conference, but that really holds true across the landscape of college football.
Audrey Snyder, we'll go to you next.
I didn't appreciate your time. I'm curious when we all kind of look at this month. There's so many things going on, so many moving parts. What maybe can you kind of tell us about behind the scenes, how you guys navigate, obviously, early signing period this week, bowl selection Sunday, transfer portal next Monday. How do you guys try and roadmap this crazy week and this crazy month?
One day at a time. Right. You wake up with your to-do list every single morning and you try to make sure that you knock out every piece of that that matters. But I think when you have great alignment with your organization, everybody understands where they're pulling and they're making sure that they're pulling in the right direction. You have people that are working on a lot of things behind the scenes. Whereas coaches, you might be watching film. You've got your personnel department focusing on what's next when it comes to, signing day or the portal opening up. So we have a lot of great people here at Oregon that keep the main thing, and we talk about farming our own land, right? What's your job? Can you do an elite job of farming your land and not worrying about doing somebody else's job, throughout the week? And we really plan a lot of this stuff in advance. Once we had, a clear idea of where this was going to be, we utilized a lot of our time, in our bye week to deal with the chaos that exists in this week.
Tyler Donahue will go to you next.
Thank you. Dan, we appreciate your time. James Franklin said as recently as last night that opponents are clearly planning to try to stop Tyler Warren, number 44, but to this point, they haven't succeeded. When you get your early look initially here at Penn State and Tyler Warren specifically, what stands out about him from a matchup standpoint and what he does for the offense?
Yeah, I haven't been able to watch a ton of film, but I've seen a lot of film on him through crossover and just what he's been able to do in college football so far this season. He's obviously an elite player that's a matchup issue and a complete tight end. So I'm excited to hop in and dive into that plan and try to figure out how we can neutralize him. I think they do as good a job of any of utilizing their personnel. I think their scheme is really difficult to plan for offensively. So that'll be a fun challenge for us and our defensive staff.
Matt Preem, we can go to you next.
Yeah, Dan, can you speak to Abdul Carter and just the playmaking ability he has in the back end for Penn State's defense and just the difficulty he'll be for you guys?
Yeah, I think if with anything, just watching their defense and their offense, you see guys that play really well together, right? 11 guys playing kind of as one, and they have an aggressive nature. He's certainly a guy that's shown physicality and ability to play all over the field. So he's somebody you have to be aware of, right? And I think they have a lot of players on that defense that you have to be aware of where they're at, and we'll have to do a great job of identifying them. Again, I haven't been able to hop into a lot of film yet with the recruits we have on campus and where we're at, but there's a lot of time between now and game day where we can start to prepare on that.
Rich Saccarello, we can go to you next.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for doing this and really appreciate your time. You have a pretty good quarterback, obviously. What have you seen from Drew Aller in crossover tapes, maybe, and what has made him effective in your mind?
Yeah, I think composure is certainly one of the things that stick out, and again, understanding of their offensive scheme. I think it's about taking what's there. But he's also a guy that's made some really tight throws and some great windows this year. I think he understands his personnel and his strengths, knows who he wants to get the ball to, but more than anything, just a composed operator, that goes out there and can execute at a really high level and create explosive plays.
Bree and Maranthus, we can go to you next.
You're still on mute, Bree.
All right, you guys got me now?
Got
Sorry.
you.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. But in your prep so far, can you compare this Penn State team to a team you faced?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think this team has its own unique identity. They do some different things that we haven't seen, so far this season. There's some stuff that's carryover, but I wouldn't compare them to anybody that we've played so far. Obviously, they play a physical brand of football. I think Coach Franklin does an elite job in all three phases. They're very detailed. I think that shows up. Teams that play great special teams are usually really well coached. I think these guys play great special teams as well. So, I think you see it all show up, for these guys, but I wouldn't compare them to a team that we've played so far this season.
Seth Engel, we'll go to you next.
Hey Dan, thanks for the time today. I wanted to ask about Penn State offensive coordinator Andy Kotelnicki. From your perspective as a coach, what's been the buzz around him this year? Whether you've watched some tape or just heard things from other coaches in the league. Thanks.
Yeah, I've actually followed Andy for a while. One of the things I do here every week is I watch explosive plays across college football. And, last year, going through film and previous years going through film, Andy's film always showed up. So as I watch explosive plays of other teams through college football, you'd watch and see unique formations pop up. And, whether that was in his time at Kansas or now his time at Penn State, you see some unique ways to use personnel and create, tough looks for defenses. So he's a guy that is able to get the numbers right at the point of attack. He's a guy that, has a lot of smoke and mirrors that make it tough to, have great eye discipline. But explosive plays, I think, is one of the biggest things that stand out is he consistently creates explosive plays in this offensive scheme, and it requires guys to do a great job of taking care of their job, right? A lot of one-on-one tackles have to be made. But the way he utilizes his personnel is something that stuck out to me for a long time.
Zachary Neal, we'll go to you next.
Coach, have you been able to cross paths with James Franklin before in your career? And if so, what's that relationship been like? And how do you expect that to play out this weekend?
Yeah, I have not. Outside of Big Ten meetings, I haven't spent a lot of time with James, but certainly have watched him from afar and seen the success he's had, in his time at Vanderbilt and there at Penn State. Obviously, one of the elite coaches in the profession right now and runs his program the right way. So, somebody I have a lot of respect for.
Kyle Babcock, we'll go to you next.
Hey, Coach, talk about the experience of your quarterback, Dylan, being a sixth-year guy and how important that is for you leading the program.
Yeah, I mean, everybody would love to run out there with the experience that we have, at quarterback right now. And I think that experience shows up consistently every Saturday for us. More than anything, just, ability for Dylan to be calm, within the chaos that exists in a football game, and being a great decision maker and understanding the scheme. You know, I think it's great when your quarterback and your offensive coordinator and coaching staff can have conversations on the sideline about, hey, how do you feel about this look next? I mean, it feels like having another coach out there on the field, which is definitely a special trait for us.
Greg Pickle will go to you next.
Coach, thanks for your time.
You bet.
This is a unique year with the 12-team college football playoff in terms of there being what feels like pros and cons to a conference title game participant for the first time. So from your perspective, what are the pros and cons of being in this game with the 12-team college football playoff?
I see a lot more pros than cons. You know, for us, it's the opportunity to compete for a championship in a league that's one of the toughest in college football. You know, an opportunity to put, the hard work that you only get so many opportunities to play games. And I value every one of those for our players, the chance to, step out on the field and compete with their brothers. I mean, that's a big positive. You know, the timing of college football right now is a little bit chaotic, with all the things that are happening this week. I don't know that that's the most convenient piece, but, if you can adapt to the challenge, what an opportunity. And that's our challenge, is being able to adapt to that opportunity. But yeah, we get, there's some teams that are going to be playing, in a playoff game. They get a little time to relax and watch ball this week, but we don't mind being active and getting the opportunity to compete for a championship.
Mark Wogenrich, we'll go to you next.
Dan, hi, thanks for your time. I was wondering if you could recount the story of how you got your career started at Pitt.
Yeah, I don't know if we got enough time for that, Mark, but I didn't know anybody in college football, and to make a long story a short story, I had a phone call one day that said there might be an opportunity, and that phone call turned into a 13-hour drive to Pittsburgh and hanging out in the lobby until I got an opportunity to start off as a quality control coach there for $800 a month. So that was the beginning of my coaching journey, and certainly grateful for a family that supported that and a wife that didn't think I was completely crazy, and the opportunity to get hired there and start my, college career.
Kyle Golic, we'll go to you next.
Hey, Dan, how are you today?
Doing good.
Hey, your D-line is one of the top units in the nation. You had a great game last night, 10 sacks, 16 tackles for loss. Penn State has an experienced O-line itself, has amazing athletes like Vega Ioane that can be placed all over the place, especially off the edge. With the trench battles being key in this game, what do you see in that? And then in your career, being a successful defensive coordinator in the SEC, being in the Pac-12 for a few seasons, now in your first year in the Big Ten, how have you seen the trench battles evolve in all those conferences?
Yeah, a lot of questions to unpack, but I guess ultimately what I would say is I've never been a part of a great defense that didn't have a great defensive line. I think it always starts there. And similarly to a great offense, to have a great offense, I think you have to have great O-line play. And Penn State certainly has that. So I think, again, kind of back to what I said earlier about comparisons to the Big Ten and success, I think winning football, it always starts there. It starts in the trenches. And, our D-line have been, game changers for us this year. And that's probably a big piece of what this game is going to come down to, is our D-line's ability to do more with less in the run game and do more with less, in the pass game as well.
James, we'll go to you next.
Dan, what kind of asset can Joe Lohrig and his knowledge of Penn State be in this game, particularly when the coordinators that he was there with have since changed? And what role do special teams play change in the postseason when you're in more either domed environments like this Saturday or just better weather environments, as long as you're not hosting a playoff game in mid-December?
Yeah, the kicking distances will change a little bit. I think that's something you have to assess somewhat in pregame, but generally you can anticipate being able to, hit longer field goals and get more touchbacks in the kicking game. That's something that'll definitely come into play a little less. Obviously you're not dealing with wind, so that'll be a piece that's different. And then obviously Joe's experience will be something we lean on, but it's similar to the other people that we face this season that have coaching crossover. It'll make an impact on the game, but Joe's not playing in this game. I'm not playing in this game. It's really going to be a lot more about our players.
Jesse, we'll go to you next.
Hey, Dan, thanks for doing this. On the NIL front, not asking about dollars and cents. I know you spend enough time talking about other people's comments about what you guys have there, but what kind of advantage has it been to just have such a professional operation between Ducks of a Feather, some people with big business experience helping with your guys' collective? Just what kind of advantage has maybe that been for your program?
I think anytime you have great alignment, throughout your organization and you do things the right way, I think that's going to create advantages in all aspects. You always say the way you do anything is the way you do everything, and everything here at Oregon is first class. And I've been really impressed with the alignment from the top of the university all the way down, throughout our organization, but that's certainly a benefit.
Thanks.
Jack, we'll go to you next.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for doing this. You and Penn State share the experience of both having played Ohio State this year. What did you see from your team that impressed you the most in that win? And then just your first impressions. I know you said you didn't look at a lot of tape, but just seeing what Penn State did against Ohio State, how do you kind of compare the two performances? Where do you think you matched up well if looking at just that comparison?
Yeah, I think ultimately, both teams, show the ability to play winning football, and games like, the game coming up this weekend, these are generally tight games. So learning that our team can win in a tight situation, certainly matters. And we've had some other tight situations this year. So the resiliency of our team, but certainly, Penn State's ability to match up and play really well against some of the best teams in the nation. And that's one of the benefits of playing in the Big Ten is you get to play against great opponents each week.
Thank you.
Matt, if you have an additional question, you can go ahead.
Yeah, Dan, you mentioned it earlier that leaning on the support staff and all the resources that those guys can bring to you. Just what do you like in hiring guys for that role? How do you target those guys? And can you just maybe speak to just their impact they've had this whole year to lead to 12 and 0?
Yeah, when I'm looking for, entry-level staff members and guys that can help us, I'm definitely always looking for the guy that's not, his first question isn't how much you're going to pay me. It's more about what the opportunity is that's presented. I think we have a lot of guys here that see opportunity and want to take advantage of opportunity and prove their worth. And we've had an unbelievable group here that have enhanced our program because they chase work and they chase opportunity. So people that don't mind rolling up their sleeves, no job is too small. Willing to do and go the extra mile for the team to have success, that creates, really cohesive unit and creates a lot of team success and individual success.
James, we'll go to you.
Dan, what has it been like recruiting against Penn State specifically during your tenure at Oregon, particularly since I believe you're battling each other for somebody as we speak?
I think they have a storied history. I think their coaching staff similar to ours, where they're relentless in their pursuit of great players. And I think every good coach would tell you that it takes great players to have, to be a good coach. So they do a good job. They do a good job of identifying talent. They have strong roots, certainly in the in the Northeast, in the East Coast. But they're a team like us that can recruit nationally. When they put a good product on the field, they're going to go work to recruit some of the best players. And that means we're going to get in battles at times because we're going to do the same.
Seth, you can go ahead.
Hey, Dan. We talked to Coach Franklin a couple weeks ago, kind of about the perspective of having coached in the SEC and also the Big Ten. What are some of maybe the major differences that you've noticed, in this first year or in this first year in the Big Ten Conference?
A lot of similarities, more than differences. Again, for me, regardless of conference, you talk about what are the best teams in the nation look like? And there's some of the best teams in this conference. Certainly, there's some of the best teams in the nation in the SEC. But the best teams have winning football teams, again, in the front. They have great skill. They have good quarterback play. They don't beat themselves, right? I think I see a lot of those traits at the top of both of those conferences.
Zachary, we'll go to you.
Coach, how valuable has your training staff been for you guys this year? Because while you've suffered some injuries, you guys seem to be getting healthy at the right time. What can you say about their impact on this 12-0 season?
Yeah, there's so many people that pour into our success, and certainly our training staff chief and his crew, our medical staff here have done an unbelievable job of keeping our guys, ready to roll, as well as our strength staff, Coach Love and his crew, have done a really good job of getting guys back out there on the field when they're ready and in position to be able to go play for us.
Jack, we'll go to you.
Thanks, Coach. Again, just going back to your team, and you talked about the Big Ten being a very physical conference, but what advantage do you have when you have receivers and you have playmakers that can make those explosive plays, and also a quarterback that had a lot of experience in the Big 12 at Oklahoma, and Dylan Gabriel kind of used to more of those high-flying offenses? How big is that advantage for you going against a lot of these tougher and more physical Big Ten teams?
I think having great players is an advantage. I think you need great players to have a great team. So we're certainly blessed to have great players here. It's about getting them, coached in position to go be able to make those plays, and our guys have been able to do that this season.
Thank you.
Kyle, you can go ahead.
Hey, Coach, it's Kyle here again. Hey, talk about your fans, and you guys are the number one team in the country. What does that mean to your fans to see such a great program led by you?
I think a lot of people have, around our community here, our alumni, our fans, they have a lot of pride in what it means to be an Oregon Duck. And they've done an unbelievable job of showing their support, whether it's traveling to away games or creating an unbelievable atmosphere here at Autzen. And that creates an advantage for us. It creates an advantage for us on the football field and certainly in recruiting. When you have passionate people that care about, your program. So I'm glad that they get to enjoy this moment and get to be a part of the success we've had this season.
James, you can go ahead.
Dan, to go back to the importance and value of conference title games and what it means in the playoff with a first round bye. There's been a lot of conjecture and politicking, and I'm sure there will be more this week with so many team seasons wrapped up about what the path that the easiest path and the path of the one and a bye to the Rose Bowl versus what may be perceived as an easier path is the five, but you host the playoff game but have to play an additional game. What's your perspective on the value of a bye and the paths that teams are going to have in this playoff?
Who cares? Put the ball out. Let's go play football. You line up against who they put in the bracket. At the end of the day, you got to win your games to get to the end. So obviously there's a benefit to having more time to prepare for an opponent, and you should have a benefit if you go and win your conference championship game. So there's definitely a huge advantage there of putting yourself a step closer to the end all goal.
Joel, you can go ahead.
Hey, Dan, thanks for doing this. Just wanted to ask, obviously, you guys at Oregon have had to travel a lot this year. I was wondering how you think that travel, making a long trip to Indianapolis, is going to impact you and what your plans were in terms of when you were going to fly out and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, we've done it before, so I think we're ready for it. We've flown to Indy already once this season, so and we'll be there the day before. It's kind of going to be a normal venture for us.
Kenneth, you can go ahead.
Hey, Coach Lanning, thanks for doing this. Just remember, you talked about it at kind of Big Ten Media Day, just how close you guys are as a program to exactly where you envision the Ducks to be. And just with the progress that you've made this season, how far ahead of schedule do you feel like this program is, especially being as close as you were in the Pac-12 title game and now pretty much the top of the Big Ten?
No, I'd say we're ahead or behind. I mean, I think we're doing exactly what I anticipated for our team to be able to do. So, you can't look ahead, you can't look backwards. You got to be in the present. So, I think our team's doing a great job of doing just that, being in the present.
Kyle, you can go ahead.
Dan, when you got Jordan Burch in as a transfer from South Carolina, you seemingly unlocked him and started to realize his five-star potential. How's his game evolved since you guys got him in Eugene? And how much of a factor do you feel he is playing on that in that being a leader? Talk about his characteristics and what he brings to that room.
Yeah, Jordan unlocked himself, right? He tapped into the resources that exist here in Eugene. We always talk about living off the land. There's a lot of great resources here, whether it's coaching staff or strength staff, his ability to grow himself. And I think Jordan's done an unbelievable job of unlocking the ability that he's always had. I think he's a game changer. He's a game wrecker, and he's proven that throughout the season. So having a guy like that for you on the field, to be able to go out there and make plays is huge.
Kenneth, you can go ahead.
4 minutes.
Gotcha. Coach, just in regards to how both these defenses are kind of built, Penn State's has, a lot of versatility. They're insanely athletic. Your defense is kind of built the same way. When you were putting, the process of this team together, like, what is this kind of how you always envisioned your defense would turn out, at every level?
I think great coaches adapt to their personnel. You want to put the best personnel together that you possibly can. And then you have to figure out what your strengths and weaknesses are throughout, spring ball and fall camp and as the season goes, and then adapt to those strengths. So to me, it's always going to be a defense that can change based on who you're playing, who your opponent is, and what you do well as a defense.
James, we'll go to you.
Dan, following on the defense, in the losses last season, it was the secondary that had some trouble sometimes against some really potent receivers. And you guys addressed that in the offseason. And you lost a lot from the D line and had to replace sacks. And there was questions of who exactly would produce those. When you're getting the results you are, can you go into the process of talent acquisition and development to getting the results that you're getting on defense and at the level of efficiency that you're getting at, because you're having higher totals on fewer plays against and a really high havoc rate?
Well, I think it starts with self-awareness of, where are you at and where do you want to be, just for us as an organization, and how can we enhance that when you talk about talent acquisition. But I do think development is a really big piece of that as well. And, not trying to fit a square peg into a round hole and continue to adapt what you do schematically, to create those opportunities for your players.
Seth, we'll go to you for our final question.
Dan, it's been quite a while since Penn State and Oregon faced off. I think 1995 was the last time in the Rose Bowl. How familiar are you with the history between these two programs, and do you plan to reach out to some of the lettermen from that year's team?
In a short week, I don't, Seth. I'm not extremely familiar, but I know these are the kind of games that you're excited to be a part of, in college football. And I think it's really exciting. You look across, the games that'll be happening this next week, and this is going to be one of the most exciting games, certainly an opportunity that we're really pumped to be a part of. But we got a lot of other things to be handling this week. So I'm probably not going to have a lot of time for bonus phone calls.
Coach, thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ashley.
Hi, Coach. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Perfect. The next coach on our Zoom is Penn State's James Franklin. Coach Franklin led the Nittany Lions to their second Big Ten football championship game appearance. Penn State finished the season 11-1 overall and 8-1 in conference play. And the Nittany Lions are looking for their fifth Big Ten championship. Coach, if you wouldn't mind giving some quick opening comments, and then we'll open the call for media questions.
Yeah, just excited about the opportunity, obviously, to represent Penn State and our fans and our lettermen, and come to Indianapolis and have a chance to compete against a unbelievable opponent in Oregon. And Coach Lanning has done a great job there. And we're excited about the opportunity. So a lot of work to do this week. We're in here today, obviously, making corrections from last week and getting a head start on Oregon, but looking forward to the opportunity to compete.
Thank you, Coach. We'll go ahead and take questions from the media. Rich, you can go for first.
Hi, James.
Hi, Rich.
When you see Oregon play, or when you've seen Oregon play, what impresses you about their front seven on defense?
Yeah, as you can imagine, Rich, this is early in the process. At this stage, we've really just started to watch them, have cleaned up our game from, this past weekend against Maryland, and have just started to study Oregon. So, at this stage, I know they've obviously done a really good job of team defense. I know they've been disruptive up front, but for me to get into the details with you right now, I don't feel in position to do that yet, Rich.
Greg, we can go to you.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
Good, Greg. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Just curious if there's anything you can share with us about Trey being able to warm up yesterday, Trey Wallace, but not playing. And then just in general, your receivers, how you felt they played yesterday throughout the course of that game, both when you had the ones in and then when you had the three and fours in later in the game.
Yeah, I was pleased with the wide receivers overall. I keep pushing each week to make sure that, we're continuing to get those guys as many opportunities as possible. It's going to be really important for us, as the season goes on. So that position and the development of that position and the production of that position is been priority number one, really, all off season and all season. So, overall, pleased. Trey, tweaked something during the week, and was not able to go. But we are hopeful, that he'll be able to go this week. But too early in the week to really tell, but was unable to go this past week.
Tyler, we'll go to you next.
Thank you. Hi, James. Hope you're well.
Good. You too, Tyler.
Been 8 years since you had a game kind of thrown your way that you earned, that you had this limited time to prepare for. Relatively speaking, how does this game week need to look different for you guys, versus games that you've known you were going to have for months or maybe years at a time in advance?
Yeah, nothing has really changed. I mean, we're going to follow our normal week prep. There's sometimes when you have a bye week or you got a game that you're planning for ahead of time that you get a little bit of extra work on. But for us, we stay pretty dialed in on the task at hand. Have some staff that late in the week can work ahead. Obviously, weren't able to do that this week, but we're just kind of turning the page right now and moving on to Oregon, but not a whole lot will change except for like the normal adjustments you make late in the season, where you're trying to do as much as you possibly can to have the guys ready to play, but also making some adjustments and some modifications, as the season goes on, to make sure that we're as fresh and as healthy as possible.
Kyle, we can go to you.
James, I talked with Dan in the previous session about the battle in the trenches. Oregon might have the best defensive line you will see all year with Uiagalelei and Birch. You have some injuries on your offensive line. So, two-part question. How do you approach this matchup where they have a very athletic and freakish defensive line that can do very exotic things? And two, how do you assess how throughout your time at Penn State, how has the trench game been built up under Coach Trautwein?
Yeah, so again, at this stage, I don't have the time, haven't had the time to watch Oregon thoroughly enough to have strong opinions, but obviously I know how they've recruited and I know how they've developed, and I look at statistically where they're at, and I've seen a little bit of game film on them. But I think, Dan comes from a similar background that I come from, and the belief that you start up front. You got to win football games up front on the O-line and D-line. They've done a good job of that, and that's going to be important. Coach Trautwein's done a really good job since he's been with us. We've gotten better every single year. We do have some moving parts this year with some injuries, not ideal, but that'll be a major focus this week and moving forward. And then also there's things that we're going to have to do in terms of how you call the game to be able to help those guys too. So a lot of things kind of go into it. We have a lot of confidence in our O-linemen and how they're going to play, but there's also some things that you need to do schematically to put them in an advantageous position too.
Zachary, you can go ahead.
Hey, Coach, Oregon is kind of the new kid on the block, so to speak, in the Big Ten this year. Obviously, as an established Big Ten member, what does it kind of say to you for them to be able to go undefeated in the conference? And what does that say to you about the coaching staff?
As we know, Oregon's, been doing a good job for a long time now. Under a number of different coaches, and Dan's taken it to the next level. They've done a phenomenal job. It's also a place with tremendous resources as well. And they've built that thing, to compete at the highest level. And I got some pretty strong relationships with Oregon, and have for a long time, not only on the coaching staff, but in other areas as well. And they're committed to win at the highest level, and have been that way for a number of years now. So Dan and his staff have done a phenomenal job. But just like all of us, it takes a major commitment from everybody involved, and they've done a very nice job of that. I think also Dan's background and experience in the SEC, I think, also helps. I think he's able to kind of bring together, two different worlds. And the experiences he's learned from both. So, very valuable.
Kyle, you can go ahead.
Hey, Coach, Kyle with Sports Report. Hey, talk about the history and tradition of Penn State and you being in the championship game of the Big Ten and what this means to Penn State.
Yeah, Kyle, I mean, obviously that's what we're all trying to do, is to compete for championships. And the first thing is at the conference level. And then at the second level is obviously, from a national championship standpoint. And more times than not, you have to do one before you can do the other. So, our guys are excited about it. I know I'm excited about it, so is the staff. It'll be a real challenge. We're excited about playing in Indianapolis. It'll be a great environment. We've been there before, and we're expecting our fans to travel well. And obviously we got a tremendous opponent, the number one ranked team in the country, that's been in that position for a number of weeks now, and has shown consistently that they're deserving of that ranking.
Tyler, you can go ahead.
Thank you. James, I asked about this last week, but we got another sample size added to it with Nick Singleton. How would you describe the way he managed to finish this regular season? And when he's playing at this level right now, does it allow Andy Kotelnicki to maybe do some things that weren't on the table at midseason because of how Nick was?
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I do think your point is a good one, and it's pretty obvious that Nick is back. As close to 100% as he's been in a long time, and you see the burst and the acceleration on tape. But yeah, we're going to try to be creative each week with our guys and put them in the best position to be successful. And there's some things that Nick does really well, and there's some things that Katron does really well, and possibly tagging some more of those plays for those guys so that we can put them in the best position possible, but not do it to the degree that it creates tendencies and giveaways in terms of how we're using each guy. So got to be strategic about it. But obviously a healthy Nick Singleton is a positive for our team and for our offense.
Mark, you can go ahead.
Hi, James. Thanks for your time.
You too, Mark.
You mentioned a couple of minutes ago about having developed some relationships at Oregon. How have you gone about doing that over your coaching career, and what kind of relationships do you have there?
Probably won't get into those specifics right now, but as you can imagine, there's a ton of relationships that you form over time in this industry. I've been in this industry now, for over 30 years. I've worked with people that now work at Maryland at previous stops. And I've been fortunate to be a part of other things that have allowed me to have interactions with people on their staff, with people in their administration, and people that are very influential at Oregon. So I understand very clearly what their commitment level is like. We've also done a ton of, as you guys know, we do a ton of studies on other programs in terms of facilities, in terms of resources, whether it's NIL or budgets in general. All those things are really important when you're trying to build your program to compete at the highest level. Understanding who and what you're competing against is a big part of that. So a ton of conversations and a ton of resources, help with those things.
Greg, you can go ahead.
Coach, can you give us some insight on in terms of your last like 15 hours, how your plan for this week has changed, both with signing day and of course preparing for a game while also waiting for the portal opening on Monday?
Yeah, it's changed dramatically. I mean, I went into the locker room after the game and I told him I got good news and bad news. We were supposed to have Sunday off as a staff and players. And now we're practicing and working, and it'll be a long day. And that's a positive. That's obviously a positive. So our guys are excited about it, but a very different, obviously a very different week. It was going to be a week for rest and recovery, some strategic practices. But obviously, we always have to be prepared for all these different scenarios, and we were. So, right after the game, I told them, "Hey, we're ready to go. We're practicing on Sunday." They didn't even know that we had Sunday off yet, but that was the plan. So, right after the game, I let them know what the schedule was going to be like, and it's back to a normal week schedule for us, an in-season schedule. And our coaches and players are ready to go, and obviously, as you can imagine, pretty excited about it. And then in terms of signing day, I'd probably say one of the biggest differences for signing day is that I'll be involved with signing day with the recruiting staff, but none of the assistants will. Typically, we've all been involved, but with this being in season, that's going to be hard to pull off. So I'll step away, from game planning for, maybe an hour or so, to welcome the recruits and their families into our family, but that's really about it.
Jack, you can go ahead.
Hi, Coach. Thanks for your time. Penn State is going to be the first team to play all four of the Pac-12 newcomers. And there's kind of, people talk about, the Pac-12 style of football. Have you noticed anything between, Washington, UCLA, and USC that you kind of piece together as similarities coming from the same conference?
Yeah, I would say obviously there's some similar characteristics, but I would also say that I think a lot of those programs and a lot of those coaches, studied the Big Ten, but also studied the SEC and said, how do our programs and how do our rosters look different, than the Big Ten and the SEC, and what modifications do we have to make to close the gap? And I think really all of these programs have done that, it's interesting you bring that up, because as we all know, scheduling is a big part of all these things. And we're excited about the opportunity being able to, play Washington, to your point, USC, UCLA, and now Oregon. So we've had pretty good experience on it, but I would say the biggest thing is I think most of these programs, from what I've seen, read, saw, studied, they've spent a lot of times of trying to, change their rosters to make them a little bit more Big Ten, playoff ready. And that's what I've noticed.
Thanks, Coach.
Shane, you can go ahead.
Hey, Coach, how are you?
Good, Shane. How are you?
Doing well. Talked to Jalen Reed after the game yesterday. He said he would basically rate the defensive effort as a 10 out of 10. Given the pressure you guys were able to generate against Maryland and also the turnovers you've created over the last two games, how do you feel like your defense is trending as far as the things you wanted before Minnesota and kind of the level of disruption you've been able to create here?
Yeah, I think, getting Dani back healthy, I think that's been important. And I think this was his first game back where he was really healthy. Abdul, the second half of the season, has gotten very comfortable at playing defensive end. We've been able to rotate and get production out of guys like Amin as well. So I think all those things have been really important. And I think last week was a really good example of that, except for the opening drive. Our defense played at a high level and was disruptive. We challenged them about turnovers. In the last couple of weeks, we've done a really good job of that. So we're going to have to continue building on that moving forward as a major part of our defensive identity. But overall, good. And as you know, and just like the caller a few calls back mentioned, being disruptive up front is really important. And that's on offense and defense, being able to find ways to change the line of scrimmage and either create space or reduce space, which is what offense and defense football is all about.
Joel, you can go ahead.
Hey, James, thanks for doing this. To follow up on an earlier question, you said you kind of evaluate some of the other schools in terms of their NIL and their facilities and things like that. What is your evaluation of where Oregon stands, and how do you think Penn State compares to that?
Yeah, I don't want to get into a whole lot of that right now. Talking about other people's business and what we know. I don't want to get into a whole lot of that, but I think it's pretty obvious when you look at programs in general, whether it's Penn State, whether it's Oregon, whether it's Georgia, whether it's Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, whoever it may be. There's a lot of information that is out there that I think paints a pretty clear picture on commitment. And whether that is the budget of the staffs, whether that is the budget of the program, whether that is revenue that is being brought in, whether that is facilities, which is pretty easy to research and see. And then obviously the commitment, from the top. And that is, whether it's board members, president of the university, athletic director, and the programs that are able to compete on a consistent basis, there's alignment. And I think you see examples of that across the country that are strong and consistent and have been for a long time. And typically, their football records and football success indicate that. And then there's other places where that fluctuates and is not as consistent. And you notice that as well. So as long as you're willing to spend the time and kind of look at it and study it and ask enough questions and have enough resources that has credible information, you can see it pretty clearly, where you're at and where you need to be.
Greg, you can go ahead.
Coach, I can only get as far back on as 2019 online, but based on your 2019 staff directory, I think you guys had a handful of analysts that year. So looking back to 2016, I'm guessing it was probably similar or maybe even less. How does preparing for this Big Ten title game change based on the number of other staffers you have in the program now compared to back then in 2016?
Yeah, it changes, but again, it's all relative, right? Like everybody's roster, their staff roster, staff size has changed. Is there more horsepower and more manpower in terms of projects and getting things done? Yes. Time also factors into that. So Were you able to get a head start or not? All those things factor in, but just like, your manpower and horsepower have gone up, so is everybody else's. So, is it different? Yeah, it's different. And we got a bunch of really talented people in the building with unique backgrounds and perspectives. And by this point in the season, I think we're in a pretty good, phase in terms of how we operate and how we can be as efficient as possible, with our time and with our preparation. So I think we're in a good place, and I've been very pleased with the staff all year long, in terms of how we've approached things and prepared.
Tyler, you can go ahead.
Thanks, James. Just to follow up on Nolan Rucci, I know you got some questions on him last week, but with another game under his belt, another start under his belt, what's the confidence level on what he's doing at right tackle moving into the postseason, and what did he maybe show you and the staff through the work on Saturday?
Yeah, we thought he had a really good game this past week. Typically for offensive linemen, if you're not talking about him, that's a good thing. And there wasn't a whole lot of conversation about it during the game, and then afterwards, I think he graded as one of our players of the game. So very pleased with him, very confident in him. He's kind of steady Eddie in terms of his approach and his demeanor. And I think he's just going to continue to get better as the year goes on. Obviously, this is going to be a big challenge this week, based on their front seven, but I know he'll do everything in his power to prepare the right way.
James, we'll go to you next.
Do you have any good anecdotes of Joe Lohrig's tenure with you, and what insights do you think he still has on you guys when the coordinators have changed since he worked for you, and insights you guys might have on their special teams because of your knowledge of his coaching tactic?
Yeah, it's probably similar, right? I know Joe, and Joe knows me, but like you mentioned, the coordinators have all changed. So I think, we both, have a probably similar amount of information on each other. Me and Joe go way back. We were roommates at Idaho State in Pocatello, Idaho. And when I had an opportunity to hire him and bring him to Penn State, really worked out well, did a great job for us. Very, very knowledgeable guy, very respected guy. Obviously, with Joe being from Oregon and him and Dan having a previous relationship, the opportunity for him to go back home, be closer to family, and work with a guy that he had a pre-existing relationship, I think from when they were at Memphis together, if I remember correctly. But Joe's a great guy. And again, like I mentioned, I've worked with him, but also lived with him. We were roommates. So excited to see him, on Saturday and to compete against him.
Nick, we'll go to you.
Hey, Coach. Thank you for doing this. I wanted to ask you just about what have you seen over the course of the season and the development of Tyler Warren, obviously 130 career receptions. Just what have you seen overall from this young man that's helped make your offense that much more potent?
Yeah, he just continues to get better, in every area as a blocker, which we're still big believers that the tight ends should be doing that as part of their job description, which isn't always the case. We've used him as a wildcat quarterback for a number of years now, but that package has expanded as he's grown. Obviously, we've used him as a wide receiver as well in terms of lining him out wide or in the slot or whatever it may be. Very confident, very consistent players, got unique ball skills and body control for a big human being. And is having a phenomenal year, in terms of our offense. Obviously, a big part of it goes through him, but we also recognize that everybody we play defensively also says that, one of their big goals is to limit his impact. hasn't happened a whole lot yet because it's hard to do when you play a tight end the way we do and line them up as a traditional tight end, as a tight end in the hip position, in the backfield as a fullback, in the slot as a slot receiver, out wide as a number one wide receiver, and then also motions and shifts. So it just makes it difficult to say we're going to take this guy out of the game, based on defensive scheme. It just makes it very difficult to do to still keep your defense sound while also eliminating a receiver that can line up in so many different spots. So he's had a huge year for us. He's the model just in terms of how he's handled all of this with such humility. Really proud of him.
Thank you, Coach.
Seth, we'll go to you.
Hey, James.
Hey, Seth.
Wanted to ask about DeJuan Lane. We saw him have his first career pick last night. What have you seen from his development over the course of the year? And second, just how pleased are you with the overall development of this year's freshman class?
A guy, as you know, since we decided to play him and burn his red shirt, we had a lot of confidence in him. Very talented, big, strong, fast, athletic guy. We had a lot of conversations about him possibly could play wide receiver. And as the season's gone on, his role on special teams has grown, and as the season goes on, his role on defense has grown. As you can see, the play that he made there, he also had an opportunity for a block punt, which would have been huge if he'd have been able to have both of those so he can continue to grow his confidence and also be able to impact our team. But I think him, as well as a lot of the freshmen that either played full time, like Luke and Cooper, or guys that we've played in the four games and tried to redshirt, but still have gotten a decent amount of football in. And now that we're in postseason, now those guys can are full go and can play in everything. So, whether it's Max or whether it's Harvey at defensive end, or whether it's John Mitchell or Belgrave Shorter or Woosley in the secondary, Vabu, a ton of guys, that are doing things. Speka doing some really good things this past week on special teams. And then the young running backs. So been a bunch of different guys. Tysier, a wide receiver. I think there's been a really good foundation laid with those guys that we can build on, through the postseason and going in the next year.
James, we'll go to you for the final question.
There's been a lot of conjecture and opinions about the value of the conference title game and the first round bye to the Rose Bowl versus being a 5 or a 6 seed, hosting a playoff game, and perceptions about who has the easier path, whether winning gives you an easier path or being the 5 seed and perhaps a more favorable matchup. What's your perspective on what the committee should do in terms of creating the most favorable paths for teams who win conference title games and for those who get to host playoff games if they lose these title games?
I guess what I would say is two things. Number one, I'm focused on the things that I can control, which is being prepared to play Oregon and play Oregon well. And then those other things are outside of my control. I think everybody recognizes that, we want to make sure that, these playoff games do not become a penalty. And I think there's been a lot of conversation about that. And there's a bunch of really good football people that are on the committee that I think understand that. But besides that, at this time, I don't have a whole lot of questions or concern, because I'm just totally focused on, putting our team in the best position to beat Oregon. That's really, what our focus is on. So all those other things, I'll leave those things up to the commissioners. I'll leave those things up to the college football committee, playoff committee. I think everybody has the same goal in mind, right? Doing what's best for college football and the student athletes, and getting the best 12 teams in the game. and trying to set it up in a way that you earn the right to where you're seated throughout the entire season and the collective body of work. So, we'll see how that plays out. What I do know is no matter what happens and whatever's decided, some people won't be happy about it, but I'm just focused on beating Oregon.
Coach, thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis.
Thanks, guys.
That completes the Big Ten Football Championship game coaches Zoom. Thank you to the coaches and media for joining us today. As a reminder, three student athletes from each participating team will be taking part in the Big Ten Football Championship game student athlete Zoom, which will be held tomorrow.